For those of y'all who know me well, you know I can't stand still while talking, so I'm going to take this mic off and I'll put it back on at the end of the lesson, and I hope that is okay. It is good to see each of you here this afternoon or evening, whatever it is. It's 5 o'clock, so I guess on the verge of both of those. But I am so glad that you decided to come and be with us. If you're visiting, I see some faces. I'm not sure if they're from other congregations I haven't met or if they're people from the community, but I hope to get to know you before you leave today. My assigned topic is the topic of obedience. And you're probably going to be confused. I start off this afternoon because this event is called 12 Hours of Jesus. Yet, I'll be honest, I'm not going to start with Jesus, but I'm going to end up at Jesus before this is over. I'm going to start with Noah. And if you would be turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, that's where we find that account. And while you're turning there, I can remember back several years ago when Hurricane Katrina happened. I'm sure most of y'all remember that event. I can remember I went down to New Orleans and Chalmette, Louisiana, which is right on the outside of New Orleans. And I can remember that as I went there, I was amazed at the destruction that happened right from that hurricane. I was amazed by all the damage that an event that just lasted for just a little while had done on that area. Just 2 weeks ago, Monday before last, I was sitting in my living room and I got a text message from my brother, and I looked at the text message and realized that a tornado had hit my hometown. Now, I'm very familiar with my hometown. I'm very familiar with the roads in my hometown. And so I immediately went to the internet and decided I'm going to see what damage had been done. I went to the newspaper's website. And so all these places that have been hit coming in on the newspaper's website. And well, the next answer is you go to Facebook, right, to see what pictures were coming up, and Twitter. And I did that. And all of a sudden, I see all these pictures coming up from places that have been hit. And I could not recognize a lot of those roads. I couldn't recognize a lot of the places that had once been, because the tornado that happened in my hometown had done so much damage. And it did damage elsewhere as well. A disaster can do a great deal of harm. As we look around us, we have disasters that happen, it seems, several times a year. And they do a great deal of harm, and we pray for those people that are harmed by them. We suffer with those people. But as we look to the book of Genesis, as we look to the day of Noah, a disaster was going to happen upon the earth, and did happen upon the earth, that was greater than any disaster that has happened that we can remember. It's greater than any disaster that will ever happen again on the earth. The flood that happened in the day of Noah is the worst disaster that ever has and ever will happen to planet Earth. But you know what's interesting is we look at Genesis chapter 6, and you look at how God's looking upon the earth in the beginning of Genesis chapter 6, and God's realizing that the earth has become corrupt. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 11, says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence." Verse 12 tells us, "And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." As God looks upon the earth and says, this planet, it had been approximately 1,600 years, they estimate, since creation. And in that time, the planet become corrupted. And God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. But as he looked upon the estimated billion people that were on the earth, he saw Noah. And Noah, the Bible tells us, as you look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was someone who, upon all those people, God saw and God realized Noah was willing to be righteous. And so God tells, and I'm paraphrasing here because of time's sake, but God, as we go throughout this account in Genesis chapter 6, God tells Noah that even in the event of this horrible disaster, God tells Noah, there are some things, Noah, that you can do, and these things will save you from this water that's going to come upon this earth. So Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 14, God tells Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with a lower second and third decks. For behold, I'll bring a flood of waters upon the earth and destroy all flesh, and which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. From every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. Notice this. He did all that God had commanded him. I want you to think for a minute as we think back to the time of Genesis, as we think back to righteous Noah and think about the circumstance that Noah was in. What if, and this is a what if because this is not what Noah did, but what if Noah had decided not to obey God? Have you ever thought about that? What if, as God told Noah take pitch and cover the ark with pitch inside and out, what if Noah decided, you know, pitch, and I'm assuming that pitch is tar. That's what I've always been taught, and I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Now, let's think, what if Noah decided he did not want to cover this ark with tar? 300 cubits is an estimated length of 100, or basically 150 yards, the equivalent of a football field and a half. What if he decided, you know, covering this entire ark with pitch inside and out, it's going to take way too long, so I'm just not going to do it. What would have happened to Noah? I would propose to you this afternoon that if Noah decided not to cover that ark with pitch, when the rain started coming and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and when Noah was on that ark for about a year, then Noah might not have survived in that ark, because the ark would have had water get in between the cracks of the wood, because that pitch would not have been there to block the water, and the ark wouldn't have held up. What if, as God told Noah to use gopher wood to build this ark, what if Noah decided not to use gopher wood? What if Noah, as God told him to use his gopher wood, decided, you know, I hate gopher wood. I'll be honest, I have no idea what gopher wood is. Gopher wood, I'm guessing that gopher wood is either one of two things. Gopher wood is either a type of wood like oak or pine or something like that that occurred before the flood that we no longer have. Or number two, I'm guessing that gopher wood was a way to fix the wood, whether it be a cedar beam or like a cedar beam or a beam of some kind, square beam, or whether it be a way you plane the wood. But regardless of it, what if Noah decided he did not like gopher wood and decided that he was going to make the ark in a different way? I'll propose to you that God told Noah to use gopher wood for a reason, whether it be that gopher wood was a strong wood, or whether it be that the way gopher wood was to be fixed was a way that would have made the ark held up. But I would propose to you that if Noah had not used gopher wood, that when the storms came, the ark would not have held up. What if, as we think about this event, what if, as God told Noah to build an ark that was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits tall, what if Noah decided that was too big? Have you ever really thought about how big that was? Think about the place you live in, whether it be your house or an apartment or wherever, and imagine a football field, and put your house in the middle of that football field. How big is your house in comparison to a football field? I would guess your house would fit in a football field. And I would really guess that your house would fit in a football field and a half. You realize that ark was bigger than most people's houses? That ark was a big ship. It was a big boat. Can you imagine how long it would have taken Noah to build this ark? What if Noah decided that that wasn't the kind of time that he wanted to spend? And what if Noah decided that instead all he needed to save himself was a little bitty boat? And so he decided to build what we would call a bass boat. Maybe he decided he was going to go fishing in this flood, I don't know. But what if Noah decided that he was going to build a boat about that size and that was all he was going to need? When it rained 40 days and 40 nights, when the water got so high that it was higher than mountains, let me tell you what would have happened. That boat would probably not have stayed afloat. God told Noah what to do with a specific purpose. He told Noah what to do for a reason. And the reason was that God had planned this out. He had planned the way that Noah could be saved even through this flood. What if Noah, as he was building this ark, what if he had decided, as God told him to build, put a window in this ark and make sure that he had this window? What if Noah decided that he would not need a window? What if Noah decided that lightning and thunder scared him? I have a dog, and my dog is scared of thunder and lightning. On nights like last night, when it's really storming really bad, I'm likely to have my dog's front two paws on my chest by the middle of the night because my dog is scared to death of storms. I have no idea if Noah was. But what if Noah decided that he did not want a window in that ark because he didn't want to be able to see what was going on outside? And what if Noah decided, I'm not going to build that window? And as Noah built the ark, he left out the window, and then 40 days and 40 nights passed, the rains stopped. And as God eventually will tell Noah to send birds out to determine whether it was safe to go out of the ark, Noah didn't have that window to do that. And so Noah would have had a guess when it was okay to come out of the ark. Do you realize how long it took for the waters to subside from the earth and for it to be safe for Noah to go out of that ark? The Bible tells it was over a year later before Noah actually went outside of the ark. Can you imagine if Noah didn't have a way to know when it was safe? He would have had a guess. I don't know about you, but my patience is not long enough to wait a year if I didn't have a window. I would have probably tried to go out 2 months later, and I would have walked right in the middle of what looked like an ocean, and I would have drowned. I don't know if Noah would have done that. But do you see what I'm getting at? Do you see how God has given Noah all these instructions, and all these instructions are important? All these instructions God gave Noah for a reason. And if Noah had not followed them, and he didn't follow them to a T, they would have harmed Noah by the end of this disaster. As we think about the subject of obedience, we can look at the story of Noah and realize that obedience saved Noah. Obedience saved Noah and his family. Obedience is what saved Noah before the flood, after the flood. After all, if Noah hadn't done what God told him to and put animals on the ark, what would Noah have had after the flood to eat? How would vegetation have grown? The cycle of life would have been broken. God planned for it. Noah obeyed God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible tells us, and Noah did everything that God had commanded. You know, as we think about the story and we see how Noah obeyed and it saved his life, what about us today? Noah lived a long time ago. Noah lived under the old law. We're under the new law now. What about us? As we look in the Bible, as we look in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, Jesus is talking here. We're getting to Jesus now. But Jesus is talking here, and Jesus says, talking about judgment day, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, you get that? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says, not everyone who says that I'm the Lord is going to get to heaven, but the only people that's going to get to heaven is the people who do the will of my Father in heaven. Let me translate that for you. The only people that get to heaven, Jesus says, are the people who obey. Moving on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Did you get that? On the day of judgment, there's going to be some people who are confused. They're going to be saying to Jesus, they're going to be saying, Lord, did we not say to you, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, did we not do what you And then Jesus is going to declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Why is Jesus going to declare that? Is it because Jesus was mean? Is it because Jesus is mean or will be mean? No. It's because they didn't do what Jesus had asked. They didn't obey Jesus. Jesus says they're workers of lawlessness. They live their life without law. They live their life without obeying what Jesus had told them to do. As you look in John chapter 10, and look at verse 27. The Bible tells us, John chapter 10, verse 27, Dennis earlier in his lesson used this verse as his text. And it says, notice this, Jesus once again is talking, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you want to be obedient to Jesus, you have to follow him. Following Jesus means doing what Jesus told us to do. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus, as he's talking, says, the Bible says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And get this, no one comes to the Father except through me." What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, Jesus is the way. Jesus is a life. Jesus is the truth. Notice he didn't say there's multiple ways. Think back to Noah. How many different ways did God tell Noah that he could be saved from this disaster that was going to come upon the earth? Did God tell Noah, now, there's going to be, this is the big ark that you could build, or you could choose to build this ark and then this ark. You can just choose, Noah. That's not what God told him. And likewise, Jesus has given us a way, one way to follow him and to be obedient to him. And that's the way we've got to follow him. I heard someone talking, I don't remember when, a couple weeks ago. And they told me, they said, "Michael," they said, I don't understand this whole religion thing. And the person was an atheist. They said, "I don't really get this because you have all these people that follow, say they follow God, but how could there be one God and have all these many different ways to follow him?" And they had a legitimate complaint. Because as you look out in the world that we live in today, as you look around our city, you see church after church after church after church, and if you go to every different church, they're all going to be believing different things. Right? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean there's multiple gods? Does that mean that there's multiple ways to follow him? I propose to you it doesn't. Because as we look at this book, the book that Jesus gave us, it doesn't give us all these multiple ways. It only gives us one way. My friends, I'm afraid that the reason there's so many different ways that people are following Jesus is not because they're doing things the way Jesus told them, but instead because we've strayed away from the book. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, there's only one way that we can follow him, and that's the way Jesus has told us. If we follow what Jesus told us, there's only going to be one way, and that's the way that Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6. So what is this the way? What is this way that Jesus has told us about? Jesus shows us. John chapter 3. We see that Jesus meets a man by the name of Nicodemus. Bible starts off John chapter 3 verse 1. "Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus tells him, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus continues. Well, the Bible continues. Jesus will continue as well. But Nicodemus, as Jesus said this, said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb be born?" Nicodemus was confused. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." As Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus tells him, "Do you want to go to the kingdom of God? Got to be born again. How can you be born again? How can you be born a second time?" Jesus says, "You're not being born again of your mother's womb. Instead, you're being born of water and the Spirit." You know, we use a verse in John chapter 3 quite a bit. And it's a beautiful verse. John chapter 3, verse 16 is probably one of the most famous verses of the Bible. Do you realize that Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again? And then he says, whoever believes, at the end of this verse, For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you realize what that belief composed of? Composed at the beginning of that chapter. When you believe Jesus, you're going to obey him. And thus, you're born of the water and the Spirit. Isn't it amazing that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son? You know what's so remarkable about that? That when God gave us his only son, his son died for us, his son shed his blood for us. When we're baptized, when we're born again of water, well, guess what? We go down to the water of grave of baptism, we make contact with that blood, and then we're resurrected, a new creature, just to live a different way. We're different now. We're children of God after we're born again. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 tells us that. Romans chapter 6 tells us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothingness, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. As Jesus talked to Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus, do you want to go to heaven? You have to be born again. If you want to go to heaven, you have to obey me. Now, so far in this lesson, I've really gone two different directions. I've had Noah, and we've had Jesus, right? You know they're connected. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 18, the Bible tells us, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not, notice this, they did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see what Peter did? Peter, as he was teaching about baptism, this baptism that according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 saves us, Peter tells them, he says, just like Noah in the days of the flood was brought safely through the water because of obedience. Verse 20, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. They were brought safely through water because they did obey when everybody else was not obeying. But then in verse 21, baptism, this what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3, what Jesus told Nicodemus to do, baptism, which corresponds to this, which corresponds to this obedience by Noah and his family, baptism now saves you. What is baptism? It's not a removal of, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it's not a removal of dirt from the body. You know, I would guess, I think there's a swimming pool around here somewhere I saw a couple minutes ago. I would guess that there's water in that swimming pool. There is at some point of time in the year. But do you know that if I went swimming here, that water's in all likelihood not going to save me unless I'm being baptized? There's nothing special about the water. Do you know what the Radcliffe Church of Christ, and I'm assuming at the North Harden Church of Christ, actually I know what the North Harden Church of Christ as well, that the baptistries that they use, they're filled with the same water that people get out of their faucets? There's nothing special about the water. You know when you took a shower this morning or you took a bath this morning, that water probably washed your filth or dirt away? There's nothing special about the water. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 tells us, but this baptism, this burial in the water, is not about taking a bath. It's not a removal of dirt from the body, but here's the reason for it. It's an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a burial. It represents the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it also is an appeal to God for a good conscience. When we are baptized, when we do what God has told us to do, We're telling God, I am going to serve you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. It's an appeal to God for a good conscience. You know, when the days of the flood, when Noah told God, or when God told Noah, rather, when God told Noah, I want you to build this ark, Noah did it. What was Noah showing God? Noah showing God, I am going to obey you. The other billion people approximately on this earth, they're not going to obey you, but I, God, I, Noah, I'll obey you. I'll follow you. Noah appealed to God for a good conscience. Noah obeyed God. He did all that God had commanded him, Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And likewise, us today, when we obey God, we can appeal to God for that good conscience that 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 talks about. And we can do it by doing what Jesus told us to do, what the Bible repeatedly tells us to do in order to be saved. No. In the first couple centuries that this earth existed, we see that the people, this billions, or about a billion people on this earth, they drowned. God sent a flood. This flood, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters went up and up, and without a boat like Noah had, without an ark like Noah had, you couldn't survive. People drowned because of their sins. You know, likewise, today, we live in a society that's filled with sins, and if we do not obey God, if we do not allow the water to save us, we will drown in our sins as well. But Jesus has given us a way out. Just like God gave Noah a way out, Jesus has told us, be baptized. Jesus told us at the point of baptism, you're saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, baptism corresponds to this. Baptism now saves you not a removal of dirt from the body, but as appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As you look throughout the book of Acts, the history of the church, you see person after person after person being baptized. Why were they baptized? Well, because God told them to. And because at that point of baptism, they were saved. The Bible tells us, as you look throughout Scripture, the Bible tells us that we are to hear God's Word. Why would you hear God's Word? That way you know what to do, right? Noah couldn't build the ark if he didn't know how to build it. If God hadn't told him how big to build this ark and how wide to build this ark and how tall to build this ark and what to do with this ark, how to build it with gopher wood and with rooms and so on and so forth, he wouldn't have known how to build it. And likewise, if we don't hear the Word of God, if we don't read the Scripture, we're not going to know how to build our spiritual ark. And so if we're going to be saved, we have to hear the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We also have to believe. You know, the hearing's all for naught if you don't believe. If you don't believe, you really wasted your time. If Noah had been told by God, Noah, I want you to build this ark, and Noah had looked at God and said, that's just too much work, I'm going to go over here with everybody else, he wouldn't have believed. God telling him would have been a waste of time. The Bible tells us we have to believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And the Bible continues. The Bible also tells us we have to repent. Because you know, if when you come out of that water, we've talked about Romans chapter 6, that you have to become a new creature. Well, if you don't repent, you're going to still be the same old creature you were before. So we have to change the way we're living. We have to change our lives and live for Christ. That's what Peter told those on the day of Pentecost to do. The same people who crucified Christ, Peter tells them, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He says, as he's ending his sermon, Peter tells them, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter told them they had to repent. Then after you repent, you also have to confess that Jesus is Lord, Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And then we get to that baptism step, the step we've actually spent the most time on today. And then at that point, you will be saved if you do what Jesus told Nicodemus to do. if you're born again of the water and the Spirit. You know, as we've thought about this concept this afternoon, my question to you as we prepare to close is, the Bible has told us what to do. We have the instructions, just like Noah had the instructions. Jesus has given them to us. But the question is, will you obey them? We have the same choice that those in the day of Noah had. We can obey God or not obey God. We do what Noah did, as Genesis chapter 6, verse 22 says, he did everything that God commanded him. Or how are you building your spiritual boat? I hope that you're building your spiritual boat the way that God told you to. Maybe this evening, I guess it's evening now, we've moved away from the afternoon. Maybe as you think about your life, you realize that you cannot make it through the spiritual flood. Maybe you realize that your boat has not been built with the instructions of God, with the instructions of Jesus. Maybe you realize you need to do that. You have the instructions, so what keeps you from obeying them? Maybe this evening you've decided that you won't obey, or maybe you've even decided that you don't know enough. There's plenty of people here who'd love to sit down, study with you, teach you what Jesus has told us to do. Well, maybe you're at that point that you've heard it and you have decided, I'm going to obey what Jesus told me to do, and you want to do that. We'd love to help you do that. We're about to be led in a song of invitation. If you have any needs, I'd encourage you to come and let us help you as we stand, as we sing.